It is common for some committed Christian athletes to be public about their faith in Jesus and how that helps them. There's an organization called Hockey Ministries International that's about 50 years old, and their headquarters are in Quebec. Their mission statement says, reaching the world of hockey, every player, every team, everywhere, with the message of hope found in Jesus Christ. They do this through chapel services, summer camp programs, and other events. Representing Hockey Ministries is Rob Globke. The ministry says of him, quote, Rob Globke grew up playing hockey, played at the University of Notre Dame, where he still has some scoring records, and then he played in the National Hockey League for the Florida Panthers. This radio station, by the way, is based in the Fort Lauderdale area. He currently works full-time with Hockey Ministries International and is responsible to oversee and expand their chapel programs in hockey. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome to the program Rob Globke to talk about ministry to those who play in hockey. And Rob, it's good to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jerry.
I understand that hockey players in general are not necessarily always open to the gospel. I mean, I guess that's true in virtually any field, but it's kind of difficult in some ways to live out your Christian faith as an active hockey player. Or am I overstating things? Tell us.
No, I mean, it's definitely changing, but you're right in the fact that it's very hard. It's a hard culture to be in as a Christian. I would categorize it as a dark place. It's unlike maybe football or baseball in America, where, you know, Christianity is a little bit more accepted and maybe a little bit more of the norm.
Yeah, by the way, but let me just stop you right there. Look at the way the whole world has reacted just in the last week or so to this. It seems like a miracle with the football player. I don't even follow, never heard of the guy. I won't pretend I follow sports. I don't. But I never even heard of the guy until his terrible, tragic accident, a week or so ago. And now it seems like he's recovering by God's grace and all these prayers. It's amazing. But go on about hockey.
It is. Yeah, no, it is amazing. And that's a perfect example. You know, like everybody's down on a knee praying. You wouldn't see that, you know, in hockey. You wouldn't see a group of guys after the game down on their knee praying. Usually it's a very rare occurrence. And it's just a hard place to be as a Christian. It can be a very lonely place. And there's just not very many Christians that play hockey. And it's not a particular culture in sports that welcomes Christians usually. But like I said, it is changing a little bit, and it's becoming a little bit more open to the gospel and what Jesus can bring, life and hope and joy and all that.
When did you personally embrace Jesus Christ?
I grew up in a Christian home, but I had a lot of head knowledge. You know, I went to a private Christian school, went to church all the time, but I didn't invite Christ into my life until I was 13 at a Bible camp. That's when I tell everybody I became a Christian. It went from my head to my heart, is what I tell people.
Okay, and what was it like being a professional hockey player, all of which came later?
It was hard. I mean, all growing up, and not even just as a professional, but growing up through hockey ranks, it was hard being a Christian, not using the same language that guys do, not chasing after the same things, and maybe the party scene and the party life, in college and professional like some guys do. So it was definitely difficult, especially to be on the team but not do what they do. To walk that line, you want to be a good teammate and a good friend, but not do some of the things that they wanted you to do or what was seen as accepted. So that was a difficult part of playing, for sure.
When you were involved, was there the Hockey Ministries International that you could see? I mean, did it reach you in any way or touch you?
Yeah, no, it was probably a big reason why I'm with the organization now. Like I said, being a Christian in hockey is very lonely. So our ministry is very outreach focused. Is trying to share the gospel with people through the game of hockey, but it also was impactful to me as a Christian. Some of my close friends and mentors were chaplain that served me while I played. So, in a lonely world for a Christian, it was a great resource for me.
So there are chaplains then of hockey teams. Some.
Yes, there are chaplains. We don't have every NHL team, but we have quite a few. We have 23, I believe, and we have chaplains at all levels of hockey, all the way from youth on up.
Okay, and how does that work? Chapels, is this like a small little or short little service provided before a big game or something?
No, it's actually a Bible study, and we do them on practice days, not game days. So it's you know, usually anywhere from about 5 to 8 guys on any given team will take part in an optional Bible study. Really, a chaplain goes in and just shares a little Bible study with whoever's interested. So we don't do like a church service. It's more of a Bible study and discussion time to talk about life and issues that the guys may be facing or have questions about.
Tell me about the history of Hockey Ministries International.
It started in 1979. Actually, it started as a hockey camp during the summer for kids, where we would use the game of hockey to share the love of Christ with kids that came for a week-long summer camp. And our first chapel started in 1980 in the NHL, and those are two bread and butters of our ministry, is our summer camp programs for youth and our chapel operations for professional college and junior teams.
Now, I as I said earlier, I don't know much about sports, but I did go to a hockey game once as a guest of a friend. And I was, it was interesting to see the phenomenon, and I've heard about this a lot, where sometimes a fight will break out between two players,
sure,
but the audience really encourages it. And it was so amazing because I, for the first time I think in my life, I began to understand the temptation that some of those early Christians felt, you know, where Augustine talks about this in his book, The Confessions of St. Augustine, about the gladiator contest and the roar of the crowd and the excitement and so forth. Explain how that works, you know, because obviously, you know, turn the other cheek doesn't seem to work on the ice. I don't know.
Yeah, it's very weird. The hockey world and the fans, like you said, love to see the savagery and the fighting and the hitting and the very physical nature of hockey. But again, as a Christian, it sometimes is hard. And we have actually a lot of people tied to our organization that you would think would be the last people tied to Hockey Ministries because they were the fighters and the tough guys. But they'll tell you that it's just part of the game. It's part of doing your job. And sometimes it can be tough to reconcile, though, for sure.
Do you have all your teeth? Did you lose any teeth playing?
I do. I have all my teeth.
Oh, praise
God. I have lots and lots of stitches, but I never lost a tooth.
Oh, good, good. God is good. I understand there's some big event related to Hockey Ministries coming up in Fort Lauderdale in early February.
Yeah, absolutely. We are running an annual event. We run a breakfast every All-Star weekend, and it happens to be in Fort Lauderdale this year. And it's a event where it's an outreach event where former players and current players come and share their testimony and their stories of faith and how that has impacted them as hockey players and people.
Okay, give us more details. It's going to be a February 4th in Fort Lauderdale hotel from 8 to 9:30.
That's right.
But tell us more.
What's it? Go ahead one more time, Jerry.
Just tell us, you know, more detail. Fill this out. Why should people come? Is God at work in the hockey field?
God is at work in the hockey world, absolutely. And people should come if they want to be encouraged and inspired to see what God is doing, because a lot of the stories that are shared each and every year at this event are stories of I wouldn't say they're not fantastic stories, but they are amazing transformation stories of God taking people that are so lost and so chasing after the wrong things in this world and changing their hearts and making them new. So the stories are a great encouragement for believers. If you are a Christian, it's a good reminder of that God is at work. And then it's an opportunity to bring friends and family who may be interested in hockey to hear from. I mean, we have this year, one of our speakers is a goalie that played for the Panthers, who is in the Hall of Fame, and he's got an incredible story of faith. So if you have somebody that loves hockey and is kind of interested in Christianity or maybe not, it would be a great event to bring them to kind of introduce them to a Christian message where they'll hear the gospel. And you are right, Jerry, it is February 4th. It starts at 8 a.m. and it's at the Westin Fort Lauderdale Beach Hotel. And our tickets for the event can be found on our website, www.hockeyministries.org.
Would you go ahead and give us an outline or two of one of the amazing stories that people might be able to hear about? You said this goalie has a great story for Christ. Can you just, you know, without letting the cat out of the bag, but give us enough, sell the sizzle, not the steak, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
Dr. Kennedy used to say that.
We'll try to do that.
All right.
We'll try to tease, as they say in radio parlance. But, the guy's name is John Van Biesbrick, the goalie. He's, like I said, he's a Hall of Fame goalie. And he was living a life that was, I guess you could say, the typical professional athlete. He was chasing after money and things that weren't bringing him peace and joy. And he ended up meeting with the chaplain who was serving for the team, and he met with them a handful of times, and they actually met at IHOP, and the chaplain challenged him about his faith in Christ and if you really had any faith in Christ and what he was doing with his life. And he just tells the story about how God changed his heart and changed his life. And the cool thing about his story, I don't want to share too much, but the cool thing about his story is his wife was going to a church, a ladies group at a church down there, unbeknownst to him, kind of on the side, and they both accepted Christ at the exact same time, like almost the exact same time, same day, which is kind of a cool part of the story. So
you mean individually, apart from each other, they both found Christ?
Yes, apart from each other. They were both, his wife was searching in a different direction. He was going in a different direction, and the relationship wasn't great. And he was challenged by this chaplain, and she had been going to this woman's group, and they both accepted Christ on the same day, which is a really cool story. He tells it much better, but again, it's a cool story to hear.
All right. Well, we have about a minute and a half left. If there's any other cool stories you want to tell, by the way, how long does the average player last in hockey? I mean, in other words, as a career, you end about age 35 or something? I mean, I don't know.
That would be that's an anomaly. The average career length is about 4 years. So most guys are, the large majority of players are done playing, in their early to mid 20s.
Oh, wow. Oh, so it's a real quick type thing.
It's a short.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a short career.
All right. So, as I say, if there's any last short story you want to tell, anything else to encourage people about this event, hockeyministries.org for more information. Go ahead. Half a minute.
Yep. There's not really any stories. I just encourage you to come and you can hear a lot of good stories from other people. Again, stories of hockey, but also of faith.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And all the best to your event. Again, Rob Globke, hockeyministries.org for more information. The big event in Fort Lauderdale celebrating this. But doing this from a Christian perspective is February 4th in Fort Lauderdale from 8 to 9:30 a.m. And that is at the Westin, the one on the beach. Okay. Thank you so much, Rob. All the best.
Yep. Thanks, Jerry.
God bless you now. Bye-bye.